urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
We're having some difficulty coming from the mother station in Camden, New Jersey, and it's typical because we have Father Richard Finio coming on today. And wherever he is or whatever he does, we always have little issues of transmission. But my friends, you are listening to Thy Will Be Done on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone. Shortly, we are going to have Richard Finio, who will be calling from Houston, Texas. And we're going to be talking about St. Michael the Archangel and the power of the angels, and especially St. Michael. But my friends, guess what today is? If you haven't been paying attention to the news, it's the 44th annual March for Life. That's right, 44 years. And today, Vice President Pence said some very, very powerful words, and I wanted to share them with you for meditation before Father Finio is on the air with us. Life is winning in America because of all of you. I urge you to press on, but as it is written, and this is a quote, let your gentleness be evident to all. Let this movement be known for love, not anger. Let this movement be known for compassion, not confrontation. When it comes to matters of the heart, there is nothing stronger than gentleness. I believe that we will continue to win the hearts and minds of the rising generation if our hearts first break for young mothers and their unborn children, and if we each of us do all we can to meet them where they are, with generosity, not judgment. To heal our land and restore a culture of life, we must continue to be a movement that embraces all, cares for all, and shows respect for the dignity and worth of every person. Life is winning again in America. So despite your fears of all the things in the news, the marches last weekend, take a look at Washington today. I believe over 500,000 people marched in Washington, and it's the 44th annual March for Life. And always, every year, it's several hundred thousand people. And many of them, if you take a look at, especially EWTN, where they're really covering it, you'll see a lot of them are high school students, which is so encouraging. I had the great privilege of marching 2 years ago, and I have to tell you, to hear the kids praying the rosary, to see the families, to see the mothers pushing their babies, to see the clergy, to see people from all over the world marching and believing and praying. Look what happened as a result of those prayers over all the 44 years. My friends, life is winning in America because of all of you. So thank you. Thank you so much, Vice President Pence. We thank you for those beautiful words. And of course, his closing words, and God bless the United States of America. Dear friends, I ask that you look up the speech, that you go onto the internet, read the entire speech. It is very moving and it's very, very, very prophetic. Do not think that it doesn't matter, that your prayers don't matter. Because when you're praying the rosary, when you're praying from the sacred scriptures, when you're attending Mass and then you're in an adoration, when you're praying in your Bible group, your prayer group, prayer matters. The theme this year was the power of one. The power of one. And that's what this radio network is all about. The Catholic Radio Network, In His Sign Catholic Radio, 40 plus years in ministry. 40 plus years. The power of one man, Dominic Lethierry, having the vision that he wanted to reach one person at a time. And now Kathleen McCarthy, who has taken over the reins, believing that one person can make a difference. Even if no one else is listening, but that one person. in the car, the nursing home, on the highway, at home, crying in a hospital room. You are what this radio network is all about. So I can't say enough, my friends. Life is winning in America because of all of you. And today we'll have Father Richard Finio calling in from Houston, Texas. And believe me, this priest has very little time. He knows directly from the Lord the power of this radio network. So call your friends. Tell them to listen. This, whenever Father Finio is on with us, it is a powerful program. People ask for copies. People ask for a replay. I always have calls at my home saying, who is that priest? He is an ex-exorcist who teaches spiritual formation at St. Mary's Seminary in Houston, Texas. He has a great background in healing and deliverance, but he's on the air to offer hope today. To offer hope through the intercession of St. Michael. Now, it's not just about a prayer. It really isn't about a prayer. This is a priest who uses the protection of St. Michael, the archangels, and the angels. So this is not a feel-good type of radio program. And I don't want you to think that what he's sharing is, okay, that makes me feel good, and I want to name my angel. Dear friends, he's going to give you the armor. He's going to give you the armor and the sword to wit through the intercession and through the protection of St. Michael, the archangel. So be sure to call your friends who think, oh, I don't really need an angel. I really don't need an angel. Father Finio will be sharing the power and the responsibilities of St. Michael, the archangel, with us live today. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I said, Father Finio, would you be on the air with us? And he said, I really don't have any time, Anne. Minutes later, he said, oh, I'm supposed to be on the air. What should we talk about? Immediately, the Lord placed on my heart about St. Michael, the archangel, and the angels, and he immediately said yes. So we're excited. We're hoping the connection is good. He's going to be calling in through a landline, and the last time he was on, we had problems with that landline, so we're hoping and praying that our connection is good. And God willing, we're not sure yet how the Lord will lead, but we may open the phone lines towards the end of the program. And also, by the way, if you're on a bus coming back from the March for Life, if you're in your car, please tell your friends at the end of the program, we will be praying. We will be praying with Father Richard Finio. So you don't want to miss this time. But again, Father Richard Finio, who is calling in from Houston, Texas, and we'll be discussing Michael the Archangel. But don't you forget what Vice President Pence said today. Life is winning in America because of all of you. Be of hope, be of courage, and guess what? We have Father Finio live with us. Welcome, Father Finio.
Thank you, Anne. Good to be back with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you. And, you know, I've been telling our listeners for about 2 weeks that we're going to be discussing Michael the Archangel and the angels. And I had a friend say, what are you going to say about Michael the Archangel? People just know, oh, he's the guy with the protective prayer. But tell our listeners why St. Michael is so important.
Well, I think we need to start with the fact that we have to acknowledge angels. The existence of angels is truly, it's a truth of faith. The existence of the spiritual and the non-corporeal beings that sacred scripture usually calls angels is a truth of faith. And the witness of sacred scripture is as clear as the unanimity of tradition. So the one that's probably more popular is, in fact, St. Michael. Michael Yahweh is the formal name, and it translates to one who is like unto God. And we know that he led the army of the angels who cast out Satan, and the rebellious angels cast him into hell, and he will do so at the end of time. He wields his sword of justice to separate the righteous from the evil. And St. Michael, well, he's very dear to me, because that is my middle name. And my father, just recently deceased, was a New York City police sergeant for many years, and Michael is the patron saint for the police office as well. But scripture and tradition is just replete with all kinds of stories and just fascinating information about Michael. Especially the church fathers, they recognize the importance of the angels, but most especially the archangels and that of Michael. And the archangels they're entrusted with the task of guarding nations. And just as, you know, Moses taught, and we have the book of Daniel, there's all kinds of references. But Michael is not mentioned all that often, but it is implied. Okay, And just especially in my ministry of over 12 years as lead exorcist, we never did anything without Michael. In fact, the rite itself, we call on Michael quite often because all of hell trembles with the presence of Michael in any of those types of rituals that we do.
Well, what happened to Saint Michael? We rarely hear about him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's been lost. We used to pray that Saint Michael protective prayer at the end of Mass.
Exactly.
And it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, that was with Paul VI and the Novus Ordo. We kind of lost that tradition. And if we look at John Paul II was the one that was encouraging many, many dioceses throughout the countries of the world to reinstitute, or not mandated, but highly recommended that we would get back to that practice. When I was pastor of four parishes, at the conclusion of Mass, we did the St. Michael prayer. And it is very efficacious, even here at the seminary. I conclude my Masses with the prayer to St. Michael to invoke his protection. And all you have to do is go through the histories, going all the way back to 590, when there was a plague that struck Rome, and Pope St. Gregory led this fantastic procession through the streets as an act of penance to seek forgiveness and for the atoning of sin. And he concluded at the tomb of Hadrian. Now we call it, if you go to Rome, you'll see it's called Castel San Angelo. It's not far from St. Peter's. And Michael appeared on the top of Hadrian's tomb, and with that, he sheathed his sword, and they took that as an indication of the end of the plague. And so with that, the Holy Father later built the chapel at the top of the tomb, and to this day, there's a large statue of Michael that overlooks St. Peter's from that vantage point.
Father Finio, I had read that St. Michael is a champion of all Christians.
He is.
And the Church itself. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Sure. With our Catholic tradition, St. Michael has four specific duties. That is to continue to wage the battle against Satan and all the fallen angels. And then his other duty, second duty, would be to save souls of the faithful from the power of Satan, especially at the hour of our death. And his third duty would be to protect the people of God, both Jew and Christian of the Old Covenant and Christians of the New Covenant. And then finally, he's to lead souls of the departed from this life and present them to our Lord for a particular judgment. And we know that at the end of time for the final judgment. And so it's for those reasons that if you look at art, statues, iconography, they all depict Michael as this knight warrior. He's got this fantastic armor. He's wielding the sword or a spear. And many times he's standing triumphantly over the serpent or the representation of Satan himself. Sometimes you'll see he's depicted holding the scales of justice or the book of life, both symbols of the last judgment. So as Christians, as Catholics, we have remembered through our liturgies, our rites, the important role of Michael in defending us against Satan and all the powers of evil. We have ancient offertory chants, the Mass for the Dead attested to these as well. It's just even the Tridentine Mass. So in the 1200s, Michael was invoked in Confidier, along with the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. John the Baptist, St. Peter and Paul. The invocation of these saints and Michael inspired the faithful to remember the call to holiness and the sinlessness of the Church triumphant in heaven. So when we call on this communion of saints, we look at the Church triumphant. That's all, not only the saints there, but especially for the intercession of all the angelic beings. And for the greater part of the 20th century, like we just said, the faithful recited the prayer to St. Michael at the end of Mass. And then we have this beautiful, beautiful prayer from Pope Leo XIII that goes back to it's 1901, 1903, somewhere in that area. He had a prophetic vision of the coming of a century of sorrow and great war. And after celebrating Mass, the Holy Father was conferring with some of the cardinali, and they say that he fell to the floor. So the cardinals called for a doctor, and no pulse was detected. They thought, the Holy Father had died. And just as suddenly, Leo awoke and said what a horrible picture he was permitted to see. And in that particular vision, God gave Satan the choice of one century in which to do his worst work against the Church of Jesus Christ. So they say that the devil chose the 20th century. And Leo was so moved by this vision, that he composed the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the divine power of God, thrust into hell Satan, all the other evil spirits who roam about the world, throne of souls. And it was then that Leo ordered that prayer to be said at the conclusion of Masses. And Paul VI, when he issued the Novus Ordo of the Mass of 1968, the prayer to St. Michael and the reading of that last gospel at the end of the Mass were suppressed. And so we need to rejuvenate this, as we were encouraged by John Paul II. And as I said, St. Michael, he figures prominently in the rite of exorcism, particularly in the cases of diabolical infestation of places. And this is where the priest prays, the most glorious prince of the heavenly army, Holy Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle against the princes and powers and rulers of darkness in this world. And it goes on. It's just a very powerful, powerful prayer, because the Church venerates Michael as our custodian, as our patron. And the Lord confided to his care all the souls of those redeemed, so that he would lead all of us to happiness in heaven. So we need to pray to God, the God of peace, to crush Satan on earth.
I'm reading, and my research in preparing for the program today, Father Finio, is that St. Michael the Archangel is also the patron of soldiers,
yes,
police, and doctors.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of police, but not soldiers and doctors.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this?
I'm familiar with the soldiers, and that's only because we have a number of men here at the seminary in Houston who are preparing not only for the priesthood, but to become military chaplains. So we have a great devotion to Michael here on this campus.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking, and if you're just tuning in, my friends, this is Father Richard Finio. He is calling in from Houston, Texas, and we're discussing the role of St. Michael the Archangel and angels in our prayer life and going forward in terms of protection and what we should do. Father Finio, you mentioned a few minutes ago that you were a lead exorcist and you invoked the intercession of St. Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, because St. Michael is an angel, not a saint.
Right. Well, he's not a saint like we would recognize a canonized person that we know is in heaven, but he's up in that realm. And so people could get confused with using his title, but he is the archangel, the most blessed and powerful. And here again, too, I have to refer back to the late, great John Paul II, who urged the faithful to offer the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. And he made the strong suggestion that the recitation of the prayer be again instituted at Mass again. And that's happening in some places, but I don't know that all the bishops throughout the United States have suggested that, to be honest with you.
You know what? Your audio is cutting in and out. Here we go again.
Okay, here we go again.
Here we go again. You know, I don't know if our listeners are hearing you well, and if the audio is cutting in and out as well, or it's just through my headset. So if someone could call the studio and just let us know that you can hear Father Finio clearly, I would appreciate it at 610-527-2906. Let us know if Father Finio's conversation with me is cutting in and out or not. But this is a regular, right, Father Finio?
It is. This is, yeah, it's expected. We call these little retaliations.
Oh, it is. Well, we thank you, Jesus, for this moment. And again, Father, talk about the other archangels. I know there's Raphael. How do you invoke their intercession?
I do. It depends on the situation and whom I'm praying with. The full name for Gabriel Yahweh translates to the strength of God. Raphael Yahweh is God's remedy. And these are the three that we have in Scripture. I know in the Jewish tradition they go on to name the other archangels, but in the Catholic Church we don't have that as much. So we know that Michael Yahweh is known to be the warrior angel who fights Satan and his demons from the beginning and all throughout our Christian pilgrimage. Michael is a great defender of Mother Church here on earth. Archangel Gabriel Yahweh, his name translates to the strength of God. And we see this if you go into the Office of Readings. Pope Gregory speaks about Gabriel Yahweh, who is called God's strength, was sent to Mary. And he comes to announce the one who appeared as a humble man to quell the cosmic powers. And God's strength announced the coming of the Lord of the heavenly powers, mighty in battle. And there's all kinds of beautiful celebrations. And we have on 29th of September, we celebrate all three archangels, and as well as with Raphael, whose name translates to God is God's remedy. And that's primarily based on the scripture where he touched Tobit's eyes in order to cure him and banish the darkness of his blindness. And so he's really called God's remedy. Okay. Raphael seems to have been at work at Jerusalem in the days of Christ in the pool called Bethsaida, and the five porticos surrounding that pool were a multitude of sick people were waiting for the action of the angel upon the water of the pool. And the angel of the Lord used to come down at certain times into that pool of water was moved, and that's when people would go into the water after that motion and believe that there would be cures of their infirmities. So Raphael's healing ministry is seen as miraculous cures that have taken place. Even in our own times, people will pray through their intercession as well. Gabriel, of course, we know for the incarnation, the one that he announced to Zechariah first the birth of John the Baptist, and we prepare the way for Christ himself. He says, I am Gabriel, who stand before God, and I am sent to speak to you and to bring you good tidings. So, and that's basically what the term angel translates to, messenger of God. And that's what they are. They're messengers for us, and also they intercede for us.
I think it's very important that you're sharing these scriptures, because I've heard some teachings where people were saying, well, angels really don't exist, and they're not really scriptural. You know, and people perceive that this is a Catholic thing or a New Age thing.
Right.
I know that there's some crossover into the New Age movement of how angels are communicated with, etc. Have you had any issues with this?
I haven't, to be quite honest with you. I haven't come across that. I know some people, and they confuse angels, and we have to remember, you know, for everything holy, there's something unholy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a plethora of literature that even makes reference to fallen angels that we would refer to as demons. And fallen angels have names as well. They speak. They know who Jesus is. They know future damnation. They know the saved from the unsaved, and they possess great strength. They too, those demons, the fallen angels, experience fear. They display a great disdain towards Jesus, and they prowl about the world. You know, so we know that there are evil angels who rule over nations of this world. Wicked angels named Legion headed up a large group of fallen spirits that had possessed a maniac at Gadara. The bottomless pit, the angel is called Abaddon in Hebrew. You know, it's just, we can go through the Gospels of Luke. We've got Paul's letters. We have the Acts, Peter, Daniel, Mark, Revelations, replete with stories of the angels. So these are all very scriptural. And again, if somebody has questions, all they need do is to go and make reference to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It is replete, especially if you start with the Credo. The Apostles' Creed professes that God is creator of heaven and earth, and the Nicene Creed makes it very explicit that this profession includes all that is seen and unseen. It says, scriptural expression, heaven and earth literally means all that exists, creation in its entirety, and it indicates that the bond deep within creation that both unites heaven and earth and distinguishes the one from the other. The earth is the world of men, while heaven, or the heavens, can designate both the firmament and God's own place. But our Father in heaven, and consequently the heaven, too, which is eschatological in glory. Finally, heavens refer to the saints and the place of the spiritual creatures. We refer to the angels who surround God's holy throne. And then if you go on, the profession of faith from the Fourth Lateran Council, everything speaks about the spiritual and the corporeal, about the angels and how they assisted Jesus in the desert. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, St. Augustine goes on to tell us that angel is the name of the office. It's not their nature.
Oh, no. Because say that again.
The name of their nature.
The name of their nature. Go ahead. Say that again.
Okay. Angel is the name of their office. It's not of their nature. The name of their nature is spirit. So if you seek the name of their office, it's angel. From what they are, spirit. From what they do is angel. So with the whole beings, the angels are servants and messengers of God, because they always hold the face of our Father who's in heaven. And they are the mighty ones who do his work. They do his word. They hearken to the voice of the Lord. So purely spiritual creatures, angels have intelligence and will. They're personal and immortal creatures, surpassing in perfection all visible creatures, and that their splendor bears witness to this. All right. All you have to do, too, is you look at the liturgy. Next time you go to Mass, just see how many times there's a reference to an angel. Even the beautiful prayers of the liturgy for the St. Michael, St. Raphael, St. Gabriel, feast of the guardian angels, it's just powerful.
And Our Lady loved the angels.
Absolutely. The angels are very much a part of the life of our church.
Well, here's the $100 question. Used to be $500, but now it's $100, Father Finio. You hear some discretionary questions regarding, should we name our angel? Mm-hmm. Should we? Or is it ridiculous?
Well, there's different views. Some of the theologians will say that we don't have authority to name, like a parent would name their child. A parent or a person would name their pet. They have authority over it. Adam and Eve gave names to all the creatures. Because the angels are above us, some believe that we don't have the authority. I'm of the mindset, off the record, if I'm going to have an intimate relationship with someone that God has given to me from my conception and will be with me till my death and hopefully will be with me when I ascend into the heavens. I have a pet name. I refer to my guardian angel as Daniel. And so I can get into some dialogue with the priest here at the seminary who say this is theologically incorrect. I said, but it's just like when I sit down and pray to the Blessed Mother. I don't call her dear Blessed Virgin Mary. I call her Mama Mary. I make it, there's a level of intimacy. And some people say this is an immature spirituality. And I say, thank you. We're supposed to be childlike.
Only you. That's why I love you.
Yeah.
Only so, you.
These wonderful theologians can sit there and argue with me. And I said, fine, I understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. I said, but for me, my spirituality, this is where I keep it simple. Even for children, when we teach them to pray that lovely little prayer, Angel of Guard, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me, ever this day be at my side, to light and guard, to rule and guide. I said, if you want, you can say you. Well, you know, if I go home, I don't talk to my mother and say, you know, good afternoon, Mrs. Finio. I call her Mom.
Sure.
Okay, there's a level of intimacy, you know, and even among friends we have pet names. So what's so terrible if we have a name? I know some bishops that have names for their guardian angels. You know, nothing so terrible. Because from infancy to death, human life is surrounded by our angels. Watchful care and their intercession, and beside each and every believer stands an angel as a protector and a shepherd, leading us to life. And already here on earth, the Christian life shares by faith and that blessed company of angels, men united to God. And you'll meet people who can say that they think they had angel encounters. Now, even though they're spirits, you know that they can take on the corporeal form. You go, there's those beautiful shrines in Europe, especially St. Michael's in the Gargano, where they say it's the only place that a celestial being has left the imprint of his foot. Powerful. And people make pilgrimages there. You know, we need something tangible.
An imprint of his
something
foot?
So terrible.
An imprint of his foot?
That's what they claim, yes.
Wow. That's a first. I believe I heard this maybe 20 years ago, but where is this, Father?
This is the shrine of St. Michael the Archangel in the Gargano Mountains, not far from the San Giovanni Rotondo. It's in that region of Italy.
Wow, it's very powerful, Father Finio.
You know, but if, you know, I think a lot of people, we bypass a lot of things, because even in Mother Church, in our liturgy, the Church joins with the angels to adore our Holy Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mother Church, she invokes their assistance, especially, and this is most recent for me since I lost my father 3 weeks ago, in the funeral liturgy. In the Paradisium deducant de Angeli, may the angels lead you into paradise. And then there's this beautiful cherubic hymn of the Byzantine liturgy that she celebrates the memory of certain angels, particularly Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, the guardian angels. It's just really, it's powerful. It really is. And then even with the liturgy itself, specific for the Mass of the Angels, beautiful references. Absolutely beautiful references.
Well, Father Finio, speaking of beautiful references, we have to take a station break. Stay on the line, and we'll be with you in a few minutes.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990. And to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith in expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, my friends, we're back live. I'm Ann McGlone. You are listening to Thy Will Be Done on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. We have Father Richard Finio calling in from Houston, Texas, and we are discussing the intercession and protective qualities of St. Michael the Archangel, and now we'll enter into all the other angels. But Father Finio, you know, I have to ask you, because you're on the line with us, you know, last weekend with all the protest and what we're seeing here around the United States, I'm not talking about the March of Life, our spirits are sad. They're very sad and frightened. Should we ask St. Michael to help us?
Oh, absolutely. We call on St. Michael, and we have to call on our guardian angels, you know, constantly. You know, we can go right back to Pius the 12th, who invoked his guardian angel. We have Padre Pio, Leo the 13th, St. Francis de Sales. A number of the saints call on the intercession of the angels. And we have to remember that, you know, until the second coming of Jesus Christ, we have been and we still are at war, a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle is what's undertaking us, you know. And the angels are a great intercession for us because, again, God has given us a guardian angel to walk beside us, and I think they're probably very bored because people forget and they don't call on the guardian angel. Padre Pio used his guardian angel constantly. I call on mine often when people are asking for prayers. I ask them to go up to the throne of God and intercede for someone. When I celebrate Mass, I spiritually in my heart, I'm acknowledging not everybody who's just present, but all the guardian angels who are present, because heaven and earth meet in that beautiful celebration. And it's mystical. The existence of angels is very much part of God's self-revelation, and it shows us unique aspects of his power and his wonder. You see, God wants us to know him, to delight in him, to rejoice in his greatness. And so by telling us about the angelic realm, which is not basically available for simple observation like the rest of creation, he opens for us a new dimension, a dimension of awe, admiration, and praise. And just as we're filled with this deep sense of meaning and vitality and inspiration when we behold the marvelous beauties of nature, like a sunrise, maybe the full moon shining on the ocean, so too our souls can be uplifted when we get to know and contemplate the angelic host. See, it's kind of it's an awe-inspiring reality of the angels that comes across in Scripture whenever the angels decide to make themselves visible to human beings. And the mere fact that they're able to do this, to take on visible form, even though by nature they're immaterial, demonstrates some of their power. And so the first reaction, I think, for people when they see an angel is they demonstrate, an awe, an absolute awe. All we have to do is you read the book of Daniel and see, what happened when Daniel was praying and fasting over his concern for the future of Israel. An angel appears to him on the banks of the Tigris. We can go to the book of Revelation. St. John, he gives us this beautiful vision of an angel that overwhelms him to the point that he feels moved to worship the angel as if it were divine. And he says, "Don't. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brothers who bear witness to Jesus. Worship God." So the angels are there to help us to intercede, and they can actually help increase our spirituality and our intimacy, our relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this awesome magnificence of the angels is but a reflection of God's infinitely greater magnificence. And so the first role of the angels, even in the history of salvation, is to be an inspiration for each and every one of us, to encourage us and to move us to praise God for His grandeur and His infinite majesty. And that kind of prayer does more good to our souls than we realize, and we should give ourselves permission to engage it more frequently. I think it's especially appropriate that the existence of the angels moves us to praise God, because praising God is one of the primary activities of the angels themselves. All you have to do is look at Scripture, look at the Bible. There are two prayers of praise that are embedded most firmly in the celebration of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass that come to us in the Scriptures through the angels. The Gloria, which we pray at the beginning of Mass, is taken from the hymn of praise that a host of angels sang in the presence of the shepherds on Christmas night. And the beginning of the Sanctus, that's the Holy, Holy, Holy. We pray at the start of the Eucharistic prayer that the real heart of the Mass comes to us from Isaiah and St. John's vision of angels praising God in heaven. And both are recorded in the Old and the New Testament. And then during the Mass itself and other liturgical celebrations, our praise of God is actually joined to the angelic praise. We bring our earthly voices together with this heavenly angelic voice, making the whole universe, visible and invisible, unite in worship. And that's why I say the next time you go to Mass, pay special attention to the many times that the priest will mention the angels.
Mm.
You'll see that the Mass is truly, it does build a bridge between heaven and earth. But the angels, Anne, are not simply an inspiration for our praise or confidence in God's power and goodness. God also, He gave them some more down-to-earth ministries. Okay? There's a hierarchy within the realm of the angelic.
Well, take this slowly. I want our listeners, get a pencil and a pen, and I want you to write this down. This is a teachable moment. Go ahead, Father Finio.
Okay. Well, we have nine choirs of angels. We have the seraphim, and these are the highest order, or the highest choir of angels. They're the angels who are the attendants or the guardians before God's holy throne. They praise God, calling, Sanctus, 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 Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord of hosts. And we get that from the Scripture, from Isaiah. And one of them touched Isaiah's lips with a hot burning coal from the altar and cleansed him from sin. So we have in our art realm, the seraphim have six wings, two to cover their faces, two to cover their feet, and two for flying. Then the next order, we call them cherubim. And cherubim rank after the seraphim, and they're second highest in the nine hierarchies of these choirs of angels. And the Old Testament doesn't really reveal any explicit evidence that the Jews considered them as intercessors or helpers of God. They were closely linked in God's glory. So they're manlike in their appearance, and they're double-winged, and were guardians of God's glory. And so they symbolize God's power and His mobility. If we look at the New Testament, they're alluded to as celestial attendants in Revelations. And so Catholic tradition describes them as angels who have an intimate knowledge of God, and they are continually praising Him. Now we go to the third, and that would be, we refer to thrones. And some of these are referred to in the Eucharistic prayers as well, the prefaces. Thrones are the angels of pure humility. They're the angels that give true submission and angels of peace. And they kind of reside in the area of the cosmos, where material form begins to take place. And the lower choir of angels need the thrones to access God. Then we go to the dominions. Dominions are the angels of leadership. And these angels of leadership, they regulate the duties of the angels, making known the commands of God. And that leads us to the virtues. And virtues are known as the spirits of motion. And they, we believe or understand that they control the elements. They're sometimes referred to as the shining ones, and they govern all of nature. And they kind of have control over the seasons, the stars, the moons, even the sun is subject to their command. And they're in charge of miracles and provide courage and grace and valor. Now, all of this can be firm, you know, when we get up there, we'll find out for sure if we're on the right page, but this is our understanding.
Wait, where are you getting this? I mean, where is this
from over the years. I used to work with the community for 11 years, and the foundress had a great devotion to the angels, and this is what she taught me over the years.
Ah.
Ministry of Deliverance, we always called on angels. So what I'm sharing has been what I've learned from word of mouth and tradition, so to say.
So you just mentioned angels of virtues, of motion, the shining ones. Am I correct? You said virtues.
Yes, yeah, because, you know, we have, for every holy angel, we have the fallen angels, and we know that they can stir up the cosmos, and God allows these things. That's why you have natural calamities and whatnot. We always believe for everything holy, there's something unholy. But God always brings a greater good from it.
So the dominion are the angels of leadership. So if one is asking for leadership of a ministry or in their family life, they would call upon the dominions.
Sure. This is what I do. I pray with my guardian angel and let him take and the delegations go from there. He knows who to go to. It's like having a personal secretary that can take care of everything.
See?
There are times when I'm traveling even to make sure I say, Daniel, please let me get up on time, have safe travel. I call on all the angels, especially when I'm flying. I call on all the guardian angels on that flight that we have smooth, safe travel.
A question for you. Padre Pio is known for example, if I want to pray to Padre Pio, I can ask my guardian angel to go to his guardian angel.
Exactly.
Was this only on earth, or is this now while he's in heaven?
Well, even now, too, we can get his intercession. You know, Padre Pio said that when you're in need of prayer, address my guardian angel.
Right.
And that's what he used to tell all his friends. You know, and there's all kinds of stories of people, you know, who were having all kinds of difficulties. And in fact, he would sit there when he would meet them. You know, they were en route to San Giovanni, even before they had a chance to tell them, you know, what they encountered, the horrific storms and things like that. He'd say, well, my children, last night you woke me up and I had to pray for you, because his guardian angel had faithfully carried out his mission, bringing to the monastery all those faithful people. You know, even St. Francis de Sales makes reference to he would pause and we'd look out at the people present in the church and would spiritually, quietly, would greet their guardian angels and ask them to make their listeners well disposed to him. The founder of my former community, St. Paul of the Cross, had the same custom. And it's become, I guess, a custom of mine, too. Anytime I travel, I get into my car, somebody else's vehicle, I ask, I said, angels in front of the car, behind it, above it, below it, to the left, to the right, on every tire, but most especially within it.
Well,
every time we get in the car, we have all those angels traveling with us.
My car's crowded with angels. I don't know about yours.
I used to tell the little ones when we were doing catechesis for Mass, I would tell them, I said, heaven and earth will meet on this altar. I said, and if you're very quiet, you will hear the fluttering of the wings of the angels ascending and descending, singing Sanctus, Sanctus. And I had one little guy came up after Mass, and he said, Father, I think I heard them. And he's such a holy innocent. I believe that he did. I really do.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're hearing the voice of Father Richard Finio from Houston, Texas. You're listening to Thy Will Be Done on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm Ann McGlone. We're talking about St. Michael the Archangel and the choirs of angels. And yes, there's a lot more to this story than one can believe. You know, Father, over the years, one would hear, oh, this person who's homeless. I know Marty Rotella, who was on last week, always talks about a homeless person who meets him in the streets of New York. And he knows when he turns around, the person disappears.
Yes.
Is this reality? I mean, is this true?
It is. I've had a couple of encounters. I call them angel encounters. On one particular time, I had taken an extended retreat. This is when I had discerned out of my religious community. I went on a extended retreat to Medjugorje, which is not yet officially approved, but I was there for 9 weeks. And very powerful experience. I was ascending the apparition hill, and I had been praying quietly because I had invitations to different dioceses and I wasn't quite sure where God was calling me. So I asked Our Lady, I said, please, the way you held and suckled the child Jesus, I'm asking you to do that for me now. I need to be strengthened by you. And I prayed on that mountain for quite a while. And then after some time, I started to make my way down. And as I passed some shrubs, I saw a gentleman sitting there, and he made a noise, and he was motioning for me to come over. And as I approached him, I saw, I said, oh, a starving artist. He was rolling up a piece of paper. I gave him a few dollars. I said, thank you. And I walked away. I don't think I walked 5 feet. I unraveled it, and there was a charcoal sketch of the Blessed Mother suckling the infant Jesus.
Oh.
And I turned around, and he was gone. But what stood out was he had the most incredible blue eyes I had ever seen. I never saw that color blue before. But I've had similar encounters two other times on pilgrimage. And I truly believe in my heart of hearts that those were angel encounters. And I think many times people do have that angel encounter. They can tell you stories about how they averted an accident or something of that sort. And I believe that that was angelic intervention, the guardian angel. But certainly, you know, intervention from the angelic realm. You know, you look at Scripture. Peter and Paul released from chains in prison. I call on the angels. I'm relying on them in the spiritual battle. Not just the saints to intercede, but the angels can move and travel and be very present. And that's why especially I call on the choir called the powers. The powers are the warrior angels against evil, defending us and all of nature. And they fight against evil spirits who attempt to wreak chaos and havoc on us.
Ah, say that again. You know why? Because we're seeing on the news chaos and havoc from the media.
These would be the fallen angels or the demons from the choir called powers. The powers, the angels called powers from the choir of powers, are the warrior angels against evil, defending the all of humanity as well as the natural environment around us. They wreak chaos, is basically what they do. They try to disturb our peace. And we have to remember, the last promise Jesus gave when he was ascending is, my peace I give you, my peace I leave. And so we have to pray and be men and women who truly trust and believe that, you know, nothing will happen without God allowing it and always bringing a greater good from it. But we have to believe and trust in that and call on the angels for our, I mean, we have all these intercessors. Why wouldn't we take advantage of them?
Well, I think that's a very important statement. You know, that,
and that leads us then to the archangels.
Mm-hmm.
And archangel, angel, of course, translation from the Hebrew means a messenger. But archangels are generally taken to mean the chief or the leading angels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And all you have to do is go read Thessalonians, and you'll find references there. And they're the ones that are the most frequently mentioned throughout the Bible. Again, Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel. And Michael is the princely seraph. The archangels have a unique role as God's message to people, all humanity, at critical times in history. All we have to do is look at Scripture, the Annunciation, you know, Archangel Gabriel. It's right there. All we have to do is read the Scriptures, and we can see how my mind just—I'm losing for the word—that they're constantly interceding for us, but the angels were also ministering to Jesus all throughout his life and his ministry.
Whoa,
so
stop,
that's
stop.
That's living proof that...
I want you to say that again. How do you know that?
Because all we have to do is when Jesus went, before he started his ministry, goes into the desert, and he's tempted by the Lucifer, the fallen angel, who was the most powerful and brilliant, and then he's ministered to. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is ministered to by the angels. This is all scriptural. These are not just, you know, little cute stories. This is real. And this is what we believe.
You know, Father, you could be on the air. I say this every time we have a program with you for hours and hours and hours. You know, one of the goals of Thy Will Be Done on In His Sign Catholic Radio is solid catechesis.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you're on the air, you provide solid catechesis and food for thought. Food for thought. Now, when you're praying and teaching and forming the seminarians in Houston, Texas, are you teaching them all this information?
In my homilies, and when I have a class that we call spiritual formation, and that's for the first and second year pre-theologians, The other classes, it's more specific. I'm teaching homiletics as well as presidential classes on the sacraments of reconciliation and anointing. But I make myself available, so the men here, yeah, and I do house retreats and days of reflection, so this is how I'm able to get more messages out and try to get these men ready for ordination so that they have the tools that are necessary for spiritual battle. And that's what it's about. I tell them, I said, gentlemen, I said, the only reason you should be here and your fiat and your yes is to save souls. And it is spiritual warfare against principalities and powers of darkness. So I think we're turning up some very good, solid men who are wonderful priests of God.
So there is hope.
There is, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, Father, our listeners love you. And I cannot even begin to end the program without you praying for all of our listeners, for healing, for deliverance, for the intercessory prayers of the angels and archangels. And would you mind just praying for all of our listeners? You have about 5-6 minutes.
Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Good and gracious, most loving God and Father, we come before your holy throne. We thank you for the graces and the gifts you have bestowed upon each and every one of us and all things essential to our peace and well-being, family and loved ones. We ask, Lord, that you send St. Michael, along with members of all the 9 choirs of angels, to everyone who is listening, to guard, guide, and protect each and every one of us, our physical persons, our homes, and all things essential to our peace and well-being. We ask you to bind, serve, and seal anything and everything might be sent and summoned against any one of us that is not of you, from any of the fallen angels, rendering them deaf, dumb, blind, impotent, and sending them immediately to the foot of the cross to be disposed of by Jesus Christ. Mother, I seal each and every listener today into your Immaculate Conception. I place them deep into the most immaculate and sorrowful heart, and I beg you to place all listening today into the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that we may continue to reflect and refract the light, the love, and the mercy of Christ and the ordinariness of our lives on this pilgrimage. We offered you all sacrifice of praise, dear Lord, and we humbly entreat you that as we approach the holy altar to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, and knowing that these angels will bring this gift to your presence, in the presence of your majesty, that you will receive each and every one of us favorably all of our prayers, intentions, concerns, and fears, that you would guard, guide, and protect each and every one of us. We give praise and thanksgiving for all you have provided for us, especially the august gift of having a guardian angel to guard, guide, and protect us until we are with you in heaven. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen, amen, amen. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you and your families now, always, and forever. Amen.
Well,
can I close with the St. Michael?
Absolutely.
St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the divine power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about this world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen, amen, amen. I beg you, pray that prayer every day.
Every day, and even several times a day.
Absolutely.
Well, Father Finio,
always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure.
Blessings to all y'all from Houston, Texas.
You're from Long Island. You do not have a Southern accent.
I can't. I'm a native New Yorker, and I don't blend, but I try.
Well, thank you. We consider you a friend of In His Sign Catholic Radio. And until we meet again, God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, friends, you heard from Father Richard Finio. He's a powerhouse. He took some time out of his busy schedule of teaching today to be with us live. And as always, it's always quite wonderful. And I'm hoping we have some time to replay this in the future. I also wanted to share with you that next week, Anne Kashute, as many of you know, she is a theologian, will be sitting in for me with Dr. Carol Houghton from the Diocese of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And they will be doing a program on the topic of marriage in preparation for next month when we will be talking about annulments. So again, Anne Kashute, the beautiful Anne Kashute, who's been here with me and with Kathleen several times, will be here live with you next week, God willing. if it isn't snowing or sleeting. And she will be a delight with Dr. Carol Houghton, the Chancellor of the Diocese of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I ask that you keep in prayer a special intention on my heart why I will not be in next week. I will be in the following week. It's a special family intention. And I ask that you just pray from with all the angels and saints for this special intention. But I also wanted to bring up, guess what's in front of me? Guess what's coming up? The 40th anniversary gala of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Yes, that's right, friends. The 40th anniversary gala / celebration at Malvern Retreat House, Sunday, April 30th, from 1:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Kathleen will be sharing a little more information down the road, but mark your calendar because we expect this to be a sellout. They can only seat a few hundred people, and I believe that this will be a sellout, and you have to sign up as soon as some issues are resolved, and she will tell you what to do. But I want you to mark your calendar because people say, oh, I'm busy, I have this or that. And Sunday, April 30th, for the 40th anniversary gala celebration of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Gulp, yes, 40th. Anniversary. It's unbelievable. Proclaiming Christ through Catholic radio. Not for 40th, which is amazing. And I also ask that you keep in prayer Kathleen. She's giving a retreat this weekend in Ocean City, Maryland. She asked for prayers. So remember to keep her in prayer as she ministers to many people down in one of my favorite places from childhood, Ocean City, Maryland. Not New Jersey, in Maryland. And dear friends, I'm going to talk a little bit about the pro-life March for Life today. You know, if you want to turn off the TV or whatever you want to do, I want you to look up Vice President Mike Pence's speech today at the March for Life. I want you to look it up and read. It's only 2 pages. You can read the entire speech. It's life-changing. I love his words, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. When it comes to matters of the heart, there is nothing stronger than gentleness. The Lord is not asking us to be bullies, vulgar, pushing our agenda, but rather to be gentle, gentle and compassionate and loving. If each of us do all we can to meet where mothers and unborn children are with generosity, not judgment, we believe the Lord will reign. To heal our land and restore a culture of life, we must continue to be a movement that embraces all, cares for all, and shows respect for the dignity and worth of every human being." I want you to download this, to, if you can't, just read it on your smartphone or on your computer. I doubt very much that it would be on the evening news tonight. I doubt very much. So until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And remember to keep my special intention in your hearts. And thank you, Father Richard Finio, for a powerful program.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.